there are four specific and direct commands in the New Testament related to the person of the Holy Spirit. Here they are. Number one, we've looked at this passage from Galatians chapter 5, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That walk by the Spirit is a direct command related to the Holy Spirit. Number two, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit is a direct command related to the Holy Spirit. That passage, Pastor Dave, is going to deal with next week. Those two specific commands related to the Holy Spirit are positive commands. Do these things related to the Spirit. The other two commands directly related to the Holy Spirit are negative commands. Do not do these two things related to the Holy Spirit. Those two are these, Ephesians chapter 4, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, do not quench the Spirit. Today, we're going to have a look at one of those negative commands, the one from Ephesians chapter 4. If you're interested, this week in the Scratch Pad podcast, we have a bumper episode because we're going to cover 1 Thessalonians 5, as well as two other specific warnings related to the Holy Spirit. But for today, we're going to have a deep look at the passage from Ephesians chapter 4. So here we go, Ephesians chapter 4, reading from verses 25 to 32. And it says this, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So it might seem strange to you to think about the Holy Spirit as having feelings. But remember, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force. Sometimes that's what we think of the Holy Spirit. He is not an impersonal force. He has personality. He is a person. Now, you should already know this, just at least from last week, where we learned one of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit is to communicate to us. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. But that's not all. Here are some other aspects of the Holy Spirit's specific personality. Before we even get to grieving the Spirit, here are some aspects of the Spirit's personality. Firstly, we know that the Holy Spirit comprehends or knows things or thinks about things. It's actually the passage that Candace read to us at the start of the service. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. The Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. It's an important statement. The Spirit comprehends the thoughts of God. Spirit knows what God is thinking. Is God comprehends that and knows what we're thinking. So the Spirit thinks or comprehends. Secondly, the Spirit has a specific will. He does not just think about things. He has a will and puts that will into action. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, speaking about the gifts of the Spirit, something we'll get to at some point, says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills, as He thinks about, as He decides upon the Spirit will do. In Acts chapter 16, there's this really curious story of the Apostle Paul, who's trying desperately to get into Asia as a missionary, and we read that the Spirit did not allow him. For some reason, the Spirit thought that that would not be a good idea, had a will on the matter, and prevented Paul from going into Asia at that time. Thirdly, we know that the Spirit has emotions and feelings. I mean, on a basic level, we should know by now, love. You should know from week number one that one of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit is to help us experience or to know the affection that God has for us. We know God loves us, but the Spirit, Romans 5 says, pours out the love of God into our hearts. So the Spirit helps us know the love of God, but also the Spirit Himself loves us and communicates that love to us. So we read that in Romans 15, verse 30. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit. He doesn't just communicate love, He loves too. He's that third member of the Trinity and has emotions like love. So yes, the Spirit has personality, the Spirit has feelings or emotions, and so yes, the Spirit can also be grieved. That's our passage for today. The Spirit can be grieved. So do not grieve the Holy Spirit, because you can grieve the Holy Spirit. And to grieve means what you think it means. It means to make sad, to make sorrowful. And just before we get into exactly what that means and how we do that, maybe it's helpful to try to think through what that could look like. And for me, I go to, you know, being a parent and thinking about, you know, maybe when my kids are doing something destructive or harmful or disobedient, and really it saddens me. There's a sadness to what I see in their destructive behavior for their own good and as it relates to our household. And that sadness that I feel about them in that moment doesn't lead to a separation. I don't stop being their parent because of their bad behavior, but there is this sadness that comes over me when I see that behavior in them. I would perhaps take that a little bit further though, because when it comes to the Spirit, I don't think it's just that, yes, there's no separation. There's God's covenant love over us and the seal of the Holy Spirit always upon us. And while there's no separation when there is sadness, I think the sadness or the grief does lead to a sense of distance, a sense of distance between us and the Spirit's working in our lives. Perhaps here it's more helpful to think about another household scenario, perhaps where Kristen and I are, hypothetically speaking, having an argument. And I mean, isn't that just the worst thing? Like, I mean, husband and wife are fighting. In that moment, I mean, we're not separating, but because of what we're going through and the fighting and the broken relationship, there is a sense of sadness, but there's also a distance. It's hard. It's hard to ignore the fact that although we're not separated, there's a grief that leads to a sense of distance from each other. Perhaps that's something like the effects of grieving the Spirit. Certain destructive behavior on our part that grieves the Spirit and leads to a sense of distance between our experienced reality of the work of God through the Holy Spirit in our lives. So now that you know it's possible to grieve the Spirit and what that kind of leads to, let's talk about what that exactly means. And in order to find out what it means to grieve the Spirit, what are these kinds of destructive behaviors that leads to grieving the Spirit, you don't have to go very far. I mean, it's right here in this passage. This today is not very complicated stuff. But it's also not very easy to really practice when it comes to the Holy Spirit. To find out what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit, particular behaviors that do this. Just have a look at the whole passage again. Let me just give you some snapshots. If you've got your Bibles open before you, you can just have that passage open and just glance around. It starts in verse 25. Having put away falsehood, speak the truth. Verse 26 introduces the subject of anger. Verse 28 jumps to talking about stealing, taking. And then in verse 29 goes on to speaking about corrupting talk that comes out of our mouths. And then do not grieve is placed right there in the middle of this little section of, I hope what you can see, are destructive behaviors. Goes on to talk about in verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, malice, slander be put away from you. So, bottom line, what grieves the Holy Spirit? Broken relationships between people, especially between Christians. Broken relationships grieves the Holy Spirit. Or to be a little more specific, what grieves the Holy Spirit is destructive behavior that leads to broken relationships between people, that leads to broken fellowship, broken community between people. This is what grieves the Holy Spirit. What I love about this list, for someone like me who loves maths and models, what I love about this list is it's so symmetrical. It gives us a list of behaviors that grieve the Holy Spirit, but then will also give us a corresponding behavior that I would describe as gives joy to the Holy Spirit, leads to a sense of being more in step with the Holy Spirit, or a sense of being more full of the Holy Spirit. So we've got these two sets of behavior. So let me divide it up for you based on these verses. Here are destructive behaviors that grieve the Spirit. Let's go through them one by one because this is so important to our ongoing relationship with God. So, behavior that grieves the Spirit, number one, falsehood. Just let that word sink in. Falsehood grieves the Spirit. Verse 25, therefore, having put away falsehood. Falsehood means, I think, what you know it means. In a general sense, is lying. And I think you know that the act of lying does lead to distance and separation in relationships. So certainly it means lying. But a little more broadly than that means pretending. Pretending. As in putting on a show, as in paying a lot of attention to appearances, as in putting a whole bunch of work into who people perceive you to be, and in reality, that who they perceive you to be and the image you're portraying is very different to who you really are. That is pretense or falsehood. Pretense grieves the Spirit. Instead, here we have the corresponding, instead of pretense, it says, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Speak the truth about who you are, about who we are. In other words, be vulnerable, be open, be authentic, which takes a certain degree of humility in order to do that. Pretense grieves the Spirit. Humility, vulnerability in community, in relationship, authenticity, I would say, fills the Spirit with joy and leads a person to experience more of the Holy Spirit in their lives. In other words, humble people, vulnerable people, will be more filled with the Spirit than prideful people filled with pretense. So put away falsehood. It grieves the Spirit. Number two, taken. This one is really interesting that it comes up in this list. So little, it seems like a little side note about theft. Verse 28, let the thief no longer steal. I mean, we know, I mean, that's a great big commandment. That's one of the top 10, you know, big deal kind of commandments. And now we read this grieves the Spirit. Stealing or theft grieves the Spirit. But not just because you're breaking a commandment, but because taking from, grabbing from, taking ruins relationships. Constantly taking ruins fellowship, ruins community. And that is the part that is grieving the Holy Spirit. I mean, you can see this really clearly when it gives the corresponding opposite behavior. But rather, instead, let the thief no longer steal, rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that, this is really interesting, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. I just love that the motivation to do not steal. Listen, there's a strong motivation all through the Bible on do not steal. But here, the motivation is let the thief no longer steal so that he may honor God, so that he may obey God. No, the motivation is here so that instead of taking, he can share, he can give. Stop taking, instead work honestly so that you can give. Taking, grabbing, grieves the Holy Spirit. Giving fills the Spirit with joy. And so people who give, people who are generous and ready to share, in other language used by the Bible, are people who are evidently more full of the Holy Spirit than people who are only takers. Number three. Hurtful words, destructive behaviors that grieve the Spirit, pretense, taking, and hurtful words. Verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. And the word for corrupting there is the word for rotten or diseased. Jesus uses it to talk about in Matthew chapter 7 of diseased trees that are so rotten, they die, they cannot bear good fruit. Let no rotten or diseased words come out of your mouth. Hurtful words. Abusive words. Offensive words. Dirty words that break relationship, that break community, that break fellowship. These are going to be things that grieve the Holy Spirit, because what grieves the Spirit is broken relationships, and words break relationships. So let no diseased words come out of your mouth. Instead, here's the opposite side. But only speak words such that is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that you may give grace. Only such that gives grace to those who hear. You grieve the Holy Spirit inside of you when you speak words that cause rot and decay in someone else's heart and in your relationship. You're grieving the Spirit when those words come out of your mouth. But on the other hand, when words come out of your mouth that lead to an experience of grace in the person listening, when they experience grace through your words, that is a mark of a person who is filled with the Spirit of God, that their words bring grace, not hurt. And lastly, number four, long title here, anger slash bitterness slash wrath slash clamor slash slander slash malice. I put all of those into the title because they're all here. And it's actually under the banner of anger. Anger introduced in verse 26 and then in verse 31 expanded on. So clearly anger is a big deal. Anger and all of its associates are a big deal in grieving the Spirit. Anger, bitterness, wrath, which is kind of like fury. And not just a settled anger, but an anger that erupts. Clamor, which is shouting. Slander and malice, which is just general wickedness. If you're experiencing these things, and these things are exploding out of you as they do, that results in a grieving of the Spirit. Instead, listen to this list. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted and forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. The Spirit grieves, weeps over these destructive traits of anger and bitterness that take root in relationships, that take root in community, breaks, grieves the Spirit. And yet the Spirit rejoices over kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness. And so people who are kind people, tenderhearted people, people who are quick to forgive are clearly, evidently, more full of the Holy Spirit, have a greater degree of the working of the Holy Spirit in their lived reality than people who are constantly angry and bitter and hard-hearted. For whom such people, perhaps the Spirit is draining away from them. Do not grieve the Spirit. Instead, through these destructive behaviors, instead pursue these kinds of behaviors. So guys, the application today, I said to you, this is not complicated. I mean, it's really difficult to live out, but it is not complicated. The application is simple. I remember once listening to a lecture by R.T. Kendall and two young pastors. And his advice to young pastors on the subject of you want to be more filled with the Holy Spirit, experience more of the working of God in your current lived reality. He said, you want to be more filled with the Spirit? He says, do this. Find out what grieves the Spirit and stop doing that. This is simple, right? You want to be more filled, full of the Spirit. Find out what grieves this Holy Spirit. Stop doing that. There's perhaps a lot more to say about what grieves the Holy Spirit, and it comes into the other warnings around the Holy Spirit, which we'll dig into in the week. But at least here are some very practical, some very real destructive behaviors that we know grieve the Holy Spirit. Find out what grieves the Spirit. Stop doing it. The problem is, guys, as I know, as well as you know, when it comes to this list, what makes this really hard is we all know the most uncomfortable thing to deal with as a human being in this life is conflict. Especially conflict that exists in close relationship. It's horrible. Let's just all admit this. There's nobody on this earth that's good at conflict, that actually love conflict. I think we all hate it. We obsess over it when there's conflict between us. Can't stop thinking about it. Keeps us awake at night. It's what we think about in the shower. It's what we think about in the car. We have all these anger fantasies about what's happening in this relationship with these people. It eats away at us. It's so terribly difficult to deal with conflict. Relationship breakdown. And for a lot of people, the deep, deep, deep hurt that has arisen out of conflict due to relationship. This is a simple principle, But it's really difficult to actually see worked out in a positive way in our lives. Because it means confronting, dealing with conflict. And hear what this is saying in the language of do not grieve the Spirit. And I hope this is going to be clear to you. We're not talking about separation. Because separation due to sin was dealt with by Jesus Christ on the cross. So we're not dealing with separation, but sadness, grieving, which leads to an experience something like distance. In this language, it means, hey, you don't want to deal with conflict in your life. You don't want to try and bring reconciliation or do that really difficult thing of sorting it out with somebody. You don't want to do that. Well, that's fine. That's your choice. But don't expect the Holy Spirit to endorse that. The Holy Spirit is not okay with, is grieved by breakdown in relationship between individuals, especially Christians and Christian community. That's just so clear from this passage. Now, I promise you, I'm going to give you some encouragement on this before we leave today, so don't just switch off just yet. But before we get to that encouragement, I do need to point out just one more thing as it relates to this aspect of grieving the Spirit and destructive behaviors. Up till now, I've spoken about it only in the sense of an individual sense. To break down in your relationship with somebody else. But this idea of grieving the Spirit is not restricted to just individual relationships. It's also something that applies corporately, collectively, to a whole communities, i.e. the church. And you can't escape this from the passage. You just read up to Ephesians 4, just before verse 25. It's all about unity in the body, unity in the church. And so this grieving the Spirit doesn't just apply in our individual personal lives. It can apply to groups of Christians, churches, that can be so filled with these destructive behaviors, pretense, hurtful words, anger and malice, constantly taking, not being willing to share. Communities can sometimes just in an instant with a disruptive experience, something happens in the midst, or sometimes slowly over time, experience these kinds of behaviors together that grieve the Spirit collectively, and that it happens so pervasively that one might wonder if the Holy Spirit has left that community, which of course does not happen. Remember, there's always a seal. There remains a seal of the Holy Spirit. In particular, church communities as well as individuals. And in church communities, a seal remains, and that seal remains in order to awaken kindness, tender-heartedness, and forgiveness, so that reconciliation and healing can begin and the Spirit can begin to fill that community once again. Your life may be so filled with these kinds of hurtful behaviors, fighting, and relationship breakdown. Your life might be so filled with those things at this time that you might be wondering if the Spirit has left. But remember, that cannot be so. For a Christian, a seal remains. And the seal remains to awaken kindness, to awaken tender-heartedness, to awaken forgiveness, so that relationships can be healed and the Spirit can take up a greater degree of residency in your life. So here's one last piece of encouragement. What's clear from this passage is the Holy Spirit grieves at relationship breakdown. But, this is the encouragement, the Holy Spirit loves to bring healing to broken relationships. The Holy Spirit loves a work of reconciliation. The Holy Spirit loves a work of forgiveness. And the Holy Spirit is desperate to make that happen in your life. How do I know that? Because of last week, when we looked at the things that the Spirit does or the things that Jesus does. And we know that Jesus died to make reconciliation, primarily between you and God, to heal that relationship where there was rebellion between us and God. Jesus died to bring reconciliation between us and God. And the Bible is always filled with an and, a horizontal dimension of bringing relationship between human beings again. Because what happened in the garden? Adam and Eve, not only were they separated from God, but there was distance between each other and the human race ever since Christ died to bring reconciliation between man and God and between mankind with each other. In a very, very real sense, the work of Jesus today, Jesus is constantly working to break down barriers that exist between people. Jesus's heart is constantly towards breaking down barriers that exist between people. On a massive scale, to break down racial barriers, to break down national barriers, to break down political barriers, to break down tribal barriers, to break down socioeconomic barriers, to break down all of those mega barriers, but also to break down the titanium strength micro barriers that exist between individuals, husband and wife, parents and children. To break down the barriers that exist between friends or now ex-friends and co-workers and neighbors and church community members. The heart of Jesus is constantly beating towards trying to reverberate through these barriers that exist and break them down. Which is why it's what the Spirit loves to do. Holy Spirit is just waiting to awaken kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness. No matter how much conflict you might be experiencing in your life right now, and I mean, you're watching, and so you're tending towards Jesus Christ. Maybe you wouldn't consider yourself a fully fledged Christian just yet. I would appeal to you, why not be reconciled to God today? Or maybe you would, most of you would fully identify as a follower of Jesus, but you realize your life is just filled with this conflict. Let me reassure you, a seal remains. That's why it's here in Ephesians 4 again. So I got so excited about it in week number one, this idea of the seal of the Spirit. It's in Ephesians 1. It comes up again in Ephesians 4. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. No matter how much conflict is in your life or in a church community's life, a seal remains. It will stay there till the day of redemption. But that seal remains to awaken forgiveness, to bring about reconciliation, to bring about healing. If you want it, if you want it, because isn't that the reality? Are we sometimes, oftentimes, just not really sure if we want it? Don't really want to forgive somebody, don't really want to reconcile. Because that maybe means justifying their behavior and we hold out from them thinking that it's going to end up crushing them, and it doesn't, it just crushes us. A seal remains to awaken this if you want it. If you're really ready to take steps to deal with it. So maybe for a lot of people, the first step goes back to first step of week number one. Asking the Holy Spirit to help you want to deal with the conflict that's in your life. Let's be real. Let's not be false. Let's be filled with pretense. This is really hard. The Spirit loves it when we're open and vulnerable. And if you're saying to Him, I've got all this conflict, I don't know if I want to forgive. Start there. The seal remains. The seal remains. The heart of Jesus is to bring reconciliation. Won't you open yourself to this primary work of the Holy Spirit in your life? Let's pray. God, we come before you as broken human beings. I'm fairly sure everybody listening now, lives filled with such an accumulation of conflict. The heavy bags on our backs are just filled with an accumulation of rocks, just each conflict, one after the other. Some really big ones coming from some people that we've loved. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge today, at least in our minds, what we see in your word, that you did suffer and die. You came to earth in the form of man, experienced human conflict without bitterness or malice, experienced human conflict, and suffered and died in the place of all those who have ever been hurtful, who ever said hurtful things, lived lives as takers, not givers, those who've expressed anger in outbursts of words and actions. You experienced on our behalf all of that, the punishment that comes from that behavior, that separated us from the Heavenly Father. You took that for us, settled the hostility that we initiated between ourselves and you, our God. And now we know that you've also broken down the dividing walls of hostility that exist between us on a human level. You've broken down the power that they have over us in our human relationships. The power of those broken barriers has dissipated. And you invite us to topple those walls. Holy Spirit, help us. What seal remains, would you grow with that little burning light inside of us gradually turn into a flame that can motivate us to actually deal with the conflict in our lives, that can enable us to live as those who are kind and tender-hearted and forgiving, whose words bring grace, who are givers. And who are open and vulnerable with each other. Would you do that, Holy Spirit? It's your work. We want that. At the very least, we want to want that. We want to be those kinds of people. Holy Spirit, would you do that work in our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name.